Well, if there were to be a sign on the door, it should say, "Gone fishing." And for some, I can tell you, that would be a thrill. The thrill of the catch. The patience to sit there all day. They can't think of a better thing to do to be able to relax. Well, I can tell you, for me, that's not me. I don't find anything pleasurable about fishing, and for me, it is not relaxing. I heard this saying once, the problem with going on a fishing trip is that some fool always wants to fish. And then, of course, you've got the stories of the one that got away. You know, it was this big. And especially when they come back having caught next to nothing. Well, God's inviting us. God is inviting you, and God is inviting me on a fishing trip. It's a different kind of fishing trip, though. And what an adventure it promises to be. Let's think about the gospel story for this morning. Jesus is teaching in the crowd, and so he gets into one of the boats because they're all pressing against him. And he teaches them some wonderful teachings. And when he's finished, he says to Simon Peter, "Why don't you push out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch?" Well, just put yourself in Simon's shoes. Oh, I've been out there all night. I've been fishing all night. And I haven't caught anything. And you want me to go out again? Well, if you say so, Master, I will go out into the deep water and I will let down my net. And lo and behold, as that image shows, they got more fish than the nets could handle. The nets were breaking. They had to call in their partners to help them because there were so many fish. And then the story goes on, and we'll talk about that in a minute. What was the miracle in the story? Was it the number of fish? Or was it the faithfulness developed in these future disciples and these followers who were to become followers of Jesus Christ? There's no doubt it was a life-changing moment. Peter's life, his faith, his future, his ministry, they were all transformed by what he heard Jesus say when Jesus said to him, "Come, follow me. From now on, you're going to be fishing for people." There's no doubt that the impact on the fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and upon the Christian tradition, it can't be underestimated, that moment of being called to go fishing for people. And all the other disciples who came after them, men and women over the years too, who have been called to go fishing with Christ. People near and people far have come to know Christ. They have heard the message of hope and promise in the gospel. They have been brought into the kingdom of God. They have become faithful disciples of Jesus Christ themselves. And that includes us here today. And all because someone went fishing with God. So many people through the ages, you and I included, were part of the catch. God, through Jesus Christ, wants us to go fishing too. God wants us to go out into the very deep waters of our everyday lives and let down our nets. The theologian John Wesley understood this gospel well when he wrote these words. He said, "Christians are to go into the hills and dales, the highways and hedges, the markets, the fairs, the barns and the villages. Christians are to go out everywhere with the gospel." And that's what our fishing trip with God is all about. And where are those places for you and I? The places we work? The places where we go to school, our homes, with our families, our friends, our neighbors, in the grocery store, driving down Yonge Street in rush hour when we're frustrated, sitting in the doctor's office waiting room. And there's no doubt, as this slide shows, that we will be surprised. And there's two things that we will be surprised by. One is how full our nets will likely become. They will be overflowing. They will be bursting. Because as we are told in this gospel reading and in others, the harvest is plentiful. The sea is full of fish to be caught. And I think the second thing that I especially love this image for is I think we will be surprised by who is included in the catch. The person we least expect. The individual that we don't like very much. The person that we don't agree with. Our neighbor that we've just argued with. The driver of the car beside us who gestured us rudely because we didn't start quick enough at the green light. And our response to that may well be, really? Really? And God says, yes, really. Because we don't get to choose who gets included in the catch of the moment. That's totally up to God. Well, when I go fishing, that's likely what I look like. Goofy. I really got no idea what I'm supposed to be doing, much to my father's chagrin, because he tried to teach me. And he tried to get me to enjoy it. And there's something amusing about that, but there's also a truth. Thank God. How adept we are at fishing doesn't matter in this case. Because God takes us to the fishing hole where we'll get the largest catch. And God provides everything that we need. The boat, the pole, the hook, the bait. And it will be a privilege to go on that fishing trip with God. A holy and a sacred privilege. And we will be astounded at the number brought into the kingdom. Not because of us, not because of the level of our skill, but because of what God is up to, because of what God is doing. Well, I had a thought. I thought, what are the marks of a good fishing expert? And I thought, of course, the people you would turn to are the old pros. The old salts of the sea. Well, here's what they had to say. The first thing is you gotta love it. It has to be in your blood. It's an absolute pleasure to live in that wind and rain, the cold and sleet. And this, he says, the old salty from the sea, it has to be in your blood. Second, he said, is you have to be dedicated to it. And this is probably another one of the reasons why fishing and I don't get along, because you've got to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. The best time for those fishing for salmon or on the water to be out there when it's still dark. And this old sea salty said the lazy ones come out at 7 in the morning when it's too late. He said it's when it's pitch black and there's ice coming down from the sky, baiting your lure with a flashlight. And in his own words, he said, you've got to be nuts to do something like that. I would agree wholeheartedly. The third thing he said is you have to love it. You have to be dedicated to the task. And he said dedication grows out of that love and that joy that you experience. He said, you learn how to fish from others. Someone else who loves fishing teaches you. And then you slowly develop the experience and the expertise just by doing it. And finally, he said, those who enjoy fishing and do it for a living require patience. Sometimes you can sit there for an awfully long time without a tug on your line. And you wait. And you wait. And you wait. You try a different lure. You change the bait. You maybe move to a different depth. But you wait. And sometimes you go home with nothing. Except the story of the one that got away, of course. So what does that mean when it comes to fishing for people as we are called to in the gospel for today? 3 points. The first I think I hear in that is we need the right attitude that comes from our faith, from our call to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And that faith needs to be infectious. It needs to be contagious. It needs to be positive. What do we need to have within us? We need the love of Christ. We need to love the teachings of Christ. We need to love the way of Christ. We need to love the people of Christ. We need to love the church of Christ. We need to love the body of Christ. And others will notice. Because of the way we speak, because of the way we act, because of the way we approach our lives, people will notice. They will recognize that our faith and our discipleship does make a difference. The second thing I think we learn is we don't need any fancy equipment. All we need is a love for Christ in our hearts and a love for our neighbor and a love for the world around us and a desire to share that and to build up the kingdom of God as God works through us. And finally, the third point is the longer and the more often we go fishing with God, the better we'll become at fishing for people for God and with God. The people that God places in our lives. God says, keep at it. Even when it feels like you're not catching anyone or making any difference, keep at it. Because you never know when that one person might cross your path who wants and who needs the hope and the promise of the gospel. God is working through us, individually in our own lives. God is working through us collectively so that we might just touch that one person and begin there a transformation of that individual's life full of the grace and the mercy of God. Well, God, through people like you and I, went fishing. And God catches more than the average we would ever catch. A lot more. But let's pray. Let's pray within the depths of our souls that we can be part of that fishing trip that God is inviting us on. And so a question to take away and ponder. How can we be part of God's fishing expedition this week? And remember as we set out who the captain of the boat really is. Amen.